Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's a place where all of your dreams come true.
Hey!
Way, hey, 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 where there's peril and mystery and treasure too. Way, the Emperor Hallway. So grab your seahorses and join the crew. Down in Vicky's world. Oh, down in Vicky's world.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode 8 of the Etienne Regia arc of Vicky's World. I'm your friendly feline paladin, Katayab Khan, and I just want to fill you in on what's been happening in the story before we jump into it. Basically, we are on a mission to get out of Sally's homeland, Etienne Regia, and to do so, we have taken up employment with Captain Stern and her crew to earn the money needed to get a teleportation ride right out of here. That employment involves sailing around, gathering up the different parts of Journey's bounty, so that the captain can do something that we're sure is completely above board and earn a buttload of crowns in the process. Along the way, we've been learning bits and pieces about Sally's mysterious childhood. She didn't like her parents much, or life at sea for that matter. She is a shapeshifter, which for some reason isn't a very welcomed thing in these parts, and when she was little, she met a mysterious shapeshifting man with a big bushy beard. He gave her a necklace with a medallion with a star and a moon on it. We have since figured out that this medallion represents an underground network of people called the Dawn Shield. And that's about all we know. Getting Sally to share is about as easy as keeping a gibbon out of your picnic basket. Right now, me and the crew are under the sea, chatting with an extremely powerful being called Karesk, trying to get her to give us the second part of Journey's bounty, so that we can continue our quest. And there we go! All caught up. Let's dive in, shall we? Sit back, relax, give your nearest seahorse a big old hug, and please enjoy Vicky's Word.
Generations ago, the world ended. Forests were torn up, mountains were toppled, and whole lakes were swept away by the power of a furious storm. The only hint of life remaining was the fathomless ocean, pinpricked by islands and lit by perpetual starlight, in a region known collectively as Etienne Regia. While the goddess Hearth oversaw civilization, construction, and society, guiding folk who build communities on storm-lashed rocks or networks of houseboats, those seeking fortune and the treasures of the sea sought the bounties of the god of adventure, Journey. The twin gods worked in harmony for many moons beneath the celestial fabric of stars, but as the storm began to weaken half a century ago, opening new trade routes, a third power arose in Etienne Regia, the Regent Company. Now a dominant faction, with the largest fleet of ships and representatives in every parliament, elder council and local committee, wherever you go and whatever you do in Etienne Regia, the Regent Company is watching. Tonight, we rejoin our heroes as they settle down to take tea in a palatial underwater garden. Luminous jellyfish and gaping oysters cast a gentle glow through the warm waters here, illuminating technicolor corals and hundreds of glimmering treasures. You spot the glimmers of tools and armour, various crates spilling jewels and coins across the soft white sand, swords and spears and tridents that all look battered enough to be centuries old, all half swallowed by this coral garden. At the centre of this underwater cabin sits a plump woman with dark olive skin at a red coral table that sort of blooms outwards. She wears battered leather armour, and from the hips down, a graceful fishtail with bronze and green scales ripples with the near imperceptible currents. As she turns her head, her cloud of dark hair swirls aside, revealing a pair of striking green eyes that take you all in. This, you soon discern, is Caresk, guardian of the second of Journey's bounties. As she welcomes you in, Katayev, you utter the words Captain Stern tells you are important. Journey's bounty must be returned. Ah, she says somewhat awkwardly. And may I ask whether there is some cataclysmic aura that requires the return?
Yeah, there is.
Ah, yeah. Cool. Okay, all right. May I know the nature of the aura? Will you be needing assistance in this?
It's more of a need-to-know basis, sorry.
Yeah, cataclysmic aura, though, as you say. Yeah, horrible.
But very secret. It's a secret cataclysm. Yeah.
Terrible horror. Such a terrible horror.
It's kind of, you know, quite...
Hush.
It's in the Lovecraftian mould, where we can't really describe
tentacles.
It.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Indescribable.
It's just, I love your gaping oysters.
Thank you. I spent a long time in this garden. I am rather proud of it, to be honest with you.
Do you have any octopuses?
Of course, many. Well, I do not have them.
Archie refrains from singing Octopus's Garden, but he's singing it in his head.
That famous City of Summer's bardic tune, An Octopus's Garden.
Yeah, you know the one.
Yeah, hey, John, would you mind reminding me how An Octopus's Garden goes?
Octopus in the garden, splashing around, and he's got three nips. That's the first line.
I love it.
I always assumed
so
that was where Sally named
my octopus dances along. He gets that three maracas. Why not eight? He doesn't have eight. He has three.
One for every nip, as is tradition.
Technically.
Makes sense.
Does that mean, hang on, Vicky, does that mean we each have two maracas? Because I feel like we're going to be using those a lot more now that we know we have them.
Archie gets out his two maracas.
Three nips has more maracas.
Grathrin gets out three maracas.
Oh.
Ooh. If you didn't ask questions.
I look at him admiringly like,
no. Yeah. Well,
and you have these voluptuous pearls we noticed on the way in, Caresk.
Did you say voluptuous?
Yes, they were big and swollen and juicy.
Voluptuous.
I love it. It's even more voluptuous than voluptuous.
This is a cross between sumptuous and voluptuous.
Oh, that's it.
Delicious.
We were to understand by uttering the phrase, you would be willing to hand over the bounty.
You can see she looks across the four of you and there is something calculating in her eye. And she says,
I pose.
Well, forgive me. Oh, how do you pose?
With my hand behind my head and my other hand on my hip. And I thrust my my hip out and I bend one knee. And I push my nipple so that the piercing can be kind of seen through my clothing.
Wait, if you're doing this, do you just sink? Do you just sink to the bottom while you do this? Because you're not keeping yourself afloat.
I get caught in a really awkward position like you would if you're bad at taking photos. So I'm just like...
half squinting, one eye closed.
I look over at Katayev and go, very voluptuous, my man.
I learned that word yesterday.
From Kat.
Yeah, it was... on the ship.
You shouldn't have believed her. she looks between all of you and she says, well, since you have come into my garden, you have been very vague about the reasons for this. I, in my position as guardian, have the right to interrogate and test those who look to claim the bounty so that I do not give it into the wrong hands. So perhaps you will permit me a little test for the worthy. If you prove yourselves victorious, then I will hand over the bounty.
Huh? Are you aware who sent us?
Bring on.
I presume some emissary of Journey sent you.
Oh. Yeah, absolutely. Spot on.
Nailed it.
Very
you good. Passed our test, Caresk.
Yeah, well done, Caresk.
Thank
good
you.
Good stuff.
You are strange. You know that, do you not?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. Just had to be clear on that.
Archie curtsies.
We're all wearing 24 belts and slapping each other's butts. Like, what do you think?
Shaking maracas.
Yeah, we've got as many maracas as nipples. Like, let's not.
I'm going to say to her, did you expect somebody coming for Journey's Bounty to be every day and run of the mill?
No, but I expected perhaps a little more, I don't know, dramatic specific storytelling or, you know, a couple of perhaps proper nouns. But no, apparently, see, when you live as long as I do, you learn to adjust your expectations.
Yeah, times have changed, Koresk. No one uses proper nouns anymore.
It's true.
Wait.
It's all abstract nouns. Abstract nouns all the way.
Times have changed, do you?
We're all about the ablative absolute now.
Look, we could all make very highfalutin jokes about grammar for many, 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 many hours, but I sense perhaps,
and we will.
That is a threat.
No.
But perhaps I could tell you about this test. Would you please, by all means, take a seat. I have much seafood here that I have set out in anticipation. The waves changed a few weeks ago, and I have been waiting for emissaries such as you.
Aren't we floating?
Yes.
How do we sit?
I'm going to float down.
Does she provide one of those belts that you wear when you scuba dive so that you can go to the bottom? Do we get a weighted belt?
You can sit, like, gravity still exists underwater. Like, you, because you don't have, like, air in your lungs pulling you up. You can do that if you like. You don't have air in your lungs pulling you up. Like,
That's true.
So you can all just sort of sit on a bench.
Wait, so are we not breathing oxygen at all, Vicky?
More belts.
No, you're
Vicky.
breathing water.
But aren't we getting the oxygen? We have to be getting oxygen, right?
Well, not according to this druidic magic.
We
you
ate
can just breathe,
some magic seaweed and it went, and then it made our lungs, it converted our lungs into gills.
Right.
So sorry, I thought we were filtering
osmosis,
the oxygen out.
Osmosis is still happening.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're filling with water. That'll weigh us down.
Voluptuous osmosis.
Yeah, I'm feeling much more voluptuous now, so I sink down.
That's the title of the episode right there, voluptuous osmosis.
Voluptuous osmosis, yeah.
I pull up a pew and awkwardly attempt to sit on it.
You can absolutely sit down.
It's hard
that's
to get
not
used
something
to.
I'll make you roll for. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it might feel odd and you have to like
sit down, and that's a choice I've made.
Very well.
Sally prefers standing, okay.
That is fine. That is totally fine.
You passed the test, Sally.
Shit.
A secret standing chest. D'accord. Okay. All right. I understand that you are some kind of trio or quartet of harlequins, jokers, and minstrels. Is this the case? Jesters,
excuse
perhaps?
Me.
Well, you couldn't count our numbers, so let's not be too high and mighty.
Fair point. But you make a joke of it.
Yeah,
so you are entertainers. Yes.
We do enjoy to appreciate, how do you say, the joie de vivre, Koresk.
Yes, oui, that is exactly how you say it.
We choose the brighter path, but we are seasoned adventurers and we have ended many horrors.
I'm glad to hear it.
Sorry, you go.
No, by all means. I just wanted to give you your quest and then you can leave and go and do it.
Yeah, go on then, bring us the free on.
No, I first must regale you with my tale of woe, Koresk. It all began when I was jousting in the City of Summers.
I will eat you. I will eat you up and digest you.
Should we just like...
Jokes on you, that's one of Archie's kinks.
We're just going to share audio only and play the entirety of on Spotify now for all 35 hours.
You do, she's fascinated and she waves a hand for silence.
Okay. All right.
She says... My test is not a laughing matter. You see, there is a community on the other side of the island called the Latuivai. They are aquatic elves. It is elvish for the rainbow. They are a peaceful lot that often bring me gifts, pearls, songs, stories. And in return, I keep the stars bright and make the corals as beautiful as you see. But over the last few weeks, I have noticed upon the tides a great increase in sharks in the area. Their community, I fear, may have been targeted by a sinister aquatic race of creatures known as the Sawagin. They are shark folk that attack and raid settlements in an orgy of blood and destruction. I very much am fond of these aquatic elves of the Tuivai, and I would not see them come to harm.
Fight a shark. Gotcha.
Exactly. Well, I sense perhaps they have been infiltrated. So again, they mutate often. Some of them have multiple arms or a particularly strange sets of teeth. But some of them born close enough to sea elven societies may be born resembling aquatic elves in every way. They are known as Malenti, and they can infiltrate aquatic elf settlements very easily and leave their defenses open to attack. I sense there may be one of them among these elves, but I have not been able to pick one out yet. To reveal my presence here would be troublesome.
So you want us to find the infiltrator, sort what? Out these swaggins, yeah,
yes,
sort them out, find the Malenti and fuck them off.
Precisely, I would like, for my dear elves to be protected.
All right,
stab the elves until you find one.
I mean, that is an approach. Sorry,
it is an approach.
It's a less subtle approach, but.
And Malenti, what is the difference between Sawagin and Malenti?
A Malenti is a Sawagin, but they are born looking exactly as an aquatic elf might.
Oh, they don't shift their shape.
No, they are simply born in that way. It is an odd piece of magic that allows them to mutate so. But the aquatic elves are usually peaceful types, you know? They make friends with creatures of the water, they live peacefully off the land, they sometimes develop magic, and certainly those settled at Lituiva have.
So you suspect there is a Malenti infiltrated amongst the elves.
Precisely.
That we need to find as well. And I'm still hung up on something you said a while ago. You make the stars shine bright?
Yes.
Are you Journey?
No. She gives a loud, flattered laugh, and she says, no, but that is a very flattering comparison. I only particularly affect the stars around Bright Reef Bay. It is something related to a magic of mine. Perhaps someday I will show you, but I only tell my secrets to worthy folk, of course.
Oh,
right. So we'll scratch your back, and you'll scratch ours.
Precisely.
All right.
You protect those I love, and I will give you this bounty so that you can go on and do whatever Journey wishes you to do.
Wicked, wicked, wicked.
Okay.
Well, let's go. Can you point us in the direction of the of these Latuivi?
Of course.
Latuivi.
Koresk eats all of you.
What?
There's a lot of words.
I eat any ones that Koresk doesn't.
Let's go. Point
how do you spell Latuivi?
It's Lateu, apostrophe, Ivae.
I'll stick with my spelling, thank you very much.
Okay, right, so it's Latuivi. It's Elvish for the rainbow, apparently.
Latuivi,
cool. Okay.
See you soon, Koresk.
Caress gives you your directions, yep. Nods ahead, and she watches you, and you feel
Could we have some seahorses to get there faster?
Oh, great question.
I don't see why not.
And can we name them?
Not seahorses like this big.
No, giant seahorses, obviously.
Shush, Sally, we're about to get seahorses.
Gwathryn gets a really small
one. We need like 200 seahorses each.
Okay.
We have 800 seahorses. I desire 800 seahorses.
I get in a massive clamshell. And I tie all the seahorses to the clamshell and then get tugged about the ocean like a queen.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. Like a chariot.
Yeah.
Just like whipping them, chariot. Being like, lovely feminist pregnant fathers, go.
I would like one giant seahorse to ride, please.
I would like 800 seahorses.
I can do you.
800 giant seahorses to ride, please.
I can do you, perhaps, one seahorse attached to a big chariot that pulls all of you.
Sounds legit.
That's amazing.
Yes, please.
Does my octopus help me swim?
No.
Hug my octopus and have him like
cool.
Wade?
Okay. So is the seahorse big though?
So Koresk will come with you in that case. She will come with you out of her out of her den, out of her lair, I guess. She'll swim out and she mutters a series of burbled words into the water. And you see the waters around here are very clear and very beautiful. And there's all sorts of colourful corals. And then emerging from a coral is a bright yellow and green floating seahorse that tosses its little mane of fins, pulling behind it a beautiful chariot, which is a large clamshell that's been opened up and filled with like soft seaweed. There's two clamshell seats in the front and two clamshell seats in the back.
How big is the seahorse, Vicky Hawley?
It's about the size of a normal horse.
How many crates is it? Or boxes? It's boxes.
It's two crates.
How many Labradors?
Two crates. Five Labradors.
Okay.
What's the name of your seahorse, Chris?
I can ask. And I get to name a horse.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys got to name your horses ages ago, and I get to name a horse. I'm going to call this horse... This is the problem.
I can already hear Vicky getting attached to it.
I really am. This horse going to out the horse.
Yeah. Are you ready to attack?
Wear its head, eat its eyes.
Absolutely.
She's never killed one of our horses.
Yes. I'll unnervingly threaten the horse.
It doesn't come from nowhere. Vicky threatened to kill our horses many times.
We threaten our horses ourselves when we put them in predicaments.
The seahorse is called Topaz. And he's very pretty, and he's a single dad to over 500 smaller giants.
Oh, yes, he is. Oh,
and very responsible father.
Like a chariot runner to pay the bills. But...
I hug Topaz and I'll stroke his little nose and I'll go,
me too.
Not water.
If you're good, you get to live.
Yes, Topaz. Treat us well, Topaz, and we shall do the same to you. 100 little kisses.
I jump into the back of the chariot and go, Carl, let's go.
Yeah, I grab the reins and go, away, Topaz.
Okay, we're just going to be back here, Topaz. Do us well. I get in the car.
Topaz rears beautifully like the like a promotional clip from Black Beauty, and the fins on his little back shimmer a beautiful kind of iridescent green.
I cry.
He leads your chariot out into the bay.
Bye, Karask.
No one can tell you're crying, Katai, because we're underwater.
Bye, Karask. Get the bounty nice and ready for us, please.
Yeah, pop it in the microwave. We'll be back in a bit.
Okay, I will put it in the microwave.
By the way, gang, I remember Davos. What was her name? The one who put the seaweed in our head?
Deimos.
Deimos told us we have till tomorrow morning until the seaweed stuff runs out. Yeah. So let's not fuck around as much as we did just then.
All right, go.
Okay, let's roll.
All right. Speaking of Deimos, as Topaz leads you back around the bay, you see the kind of vast underhull of the Maiden's Revenge. If you'd like, you remember Captain Stern said that you could bring an ally with you, or you can keep going without.
Let's definitely pick up Deimos.
Yeah?
I feel like, because he's an aquatic elf, right?
He's
a sea elf, so yeah, definitely.
And they might have some more seaweed in their pocket in case we get delayed.
And he's royalty and shit. I feel like,
And he's part sea elf. Yes, you're right, Goathrin.
I turn the reins of the of whatever our cart is called, which I'm going to call the...
Jeffrey.
The cart is called...
The Claminator.
I turn the Claminator towards the roof of the ocean, and as we get to the Maiden's Revenge, I drive it up and out so we do a great little splash out of the water.
Amazing. What a leaky roof the ocean has, but you look beautiful leaping out of it.
You know it's the right terminology, Vicky.
Can we cruise by, look across and just go, get in, bitches. We're going adventuring.
Yeah, Archie leans his arm on the side of the clam as the clam rolls up to the to the boat, and he's like, Deimos, hop in, we got a mission for you, my man.
He looks over the side and he goes, oh, what a lovely seahorse. Hello, everybody.
His name's Topaz.
Hello,
Deimos. His name's Topaz, and we're definitely not going to kill him.
Let's go.
Okay,
let's go.
I trust you. Well, I suppose I should go and help with whatever this is. Bye, Captain. And he leaps, doing an awesome triple flip down off the ship lands on the back of Topaz. And Topaz rears and speeds off.
Yes, Deimos. Yes, Deimos, lad.
Deimos leans back and he says, as you guys sort of progress around the bay, he says, so what did you need me for?
Right, so we're going to go...
We repeat the entire mission.
Sorry. Go on, Gratherin, you go.
We have to go find the Latu V. They're being terrorised by some sharky mutant bastards.
By the Swaggins.
By the Swaggins. Bloody Swaggins. So we're going to go down there. There might be a Malenti involved. You know, find the Malenti. Do them all in. Save the Latu V. Get Journey's bounty. Get back in. Time
for uncle.
Lobster uncle.
Lobs your uncle.
Who told you about who Francois really was?
Lobs your carbuncle. There we go. Edit the other ones out.
Yeah. No, keep them in.
No, we don't need to see my working.
Lobster uncle is very good.
Lobster uncle is very good.
Lobster uncle is not very good. but it's all we've got. All right, let's go.
Also, there are gaping oysters.
Away!
Would you like to touch my octopus?
As you gallop around the bay, Deimos seems very awkward. He's happy to. Well, he's going to help you, but you see at the mention of a sea elf kind of colony, he leans back and says, "All right, I mean, I'm happy to help, I suppose, but I don't suppose you'd do me the favor of just sort of keeping it on the DL, the things that I told you about, you know, me being royalty and all that. You wouldn't tell them, would you?"
Is he talking to me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I go, don't you worry. My lips are sealed.
Oh no, unseal them, please. You have to breathe the water.
Okay, they're unsealed, but I will not tell anyone about your royal lineage.
Thank you, Archie. I appreciate it.
Yeah, okay, I'll keep it under my hat.
Thank you.
I wasn't aware of this, Deimos, but are we going back to your realm by any chance? Or is this a different tribe?
The place I come from is far down under the sea, but sea elves really settle everywhere and anywhere. Many of our settlements are below the waves, but sometimes people come up on shore. Some of them enjoy the company of, people, other humanoids, other elves, or others just simply enjoy, you know, being able to walk around as opposed to swim. It's personal preference, really. Plus, it's easier to hunt birds.
Well, if it makes you feel any safer, I can offer you this, and I pull out my golden cat mask from the City of Cats Assassins people.
Oh, thank you. Oh, how very snazzy.
If you want to be discreet, I mean, we don't want to make you feel uncomfortable.
I think a big golden mask will do the perfect thing. Thank you. He puts it on his face.
Very
do I look
subtle.
Indistinguishable now? Do I look like a commoner?
Where's Deimos gone?
If anybody there's
sitting in front of
ever
me?
Been to the City of Summers, it's going to be like their nightmare. They've like forgotten that one assassination attempt on their life 30 years ago. They've moved on, and then Deimos comes down in an assassin's mask.
True.
And they're like,
true.
Shit,
it's unlikely,
I've traveled
but true.
So far. I went down under and they found me.
How did they find me? We went across the other
if
side of the world.
If hits the deck when Deimos comes down, we'll be like...
Oh. You certainly don't look like Deimos anymore. So, there you go.
Hey, Deimos.
Thank you, my friend.
Do you know anything about Malenti?
Yes. And his face seems to go as gentle as his voice was. You see his face take on somewhat stormy countenance. Now. He lifts the mask so you can see his stormy countenance.
Thanks, Deimos. That's kind of
and he says,
observe my stormy countenance.
Please observe my stormy countenance. My countenance looks especially stormy because Malenti are a nightmare for aquatic elves. See, they are entirely indistinguishable, save for a couple of little details from the regular aquatic elf. It's quite a strange and unsettling sensation, to be honest. The idea that anybody, any of your friends, might potentially be a shark folk in disguise and be ready at any time to tear your throat out and those of your companions and family.
Oh, no.
And those distinguishable details might be?
Well,
a golden mask.
Yes. Aquatic elves, we can all speak with creatures of the sea. We can communicate simple ideas to them. Often we work in conjunction with dolphins and turtles and the like. It's an easy way to coexist with the other creatures of the ocean as we see ourselves. But Malenti do not have this ability. That's as far as I'm aware. But there are also other aquatic elves that don't communicate with animals simply because it doesn't suit them or because they have no need to with their jobs.
Or they've pissed them all off.
Yes, or they yes, exactly. They're really rude to all the animals. Not me, though, Topaz.
Every single animal.
Not me.
But if held at sword point, an aquatic elf would be able to show some ability of speaking to sea creatures.
I believe so. Most of them, at least.
But a Malenti would only be able to speak to maybe sharks or something? Or
I'm not sure, to be honest. We were very protected in the palace. I'm very lucky. But exactly, that comes with a deficit. I suppose the other thing is that, as probably you know, elves and those descended from our line, we are unable to be put to sleep by magic, and we are unlikely to be charmed by it.
That's
Whereas
good.
Malenti do not have this ability.
Ooh. I'm going to cast sleep on everyone.
Yes.
Not
everyone.
Us,
everyone. Oh, but it's AOE, lads. I can't help
just
it.
Just to clarify, we're not Malenti, all right?
It's very hard so for that Sasha to not hit us with her spells, so I think we should just accept. It's going to be a sleepy trip.
Have That's a lovely fine. Nap.
Make us sleep.
Sasha got this.
Poke us once you know who the Malenti is.
Yeah. Mommy's going to cast sleep now.
So, Damos, you could speak to Topaz if you wanted.
Yes, we've been having a lovely conversation. He's telling me about all 500 of his children. Oh, yeah. I won't name, but I could.
Can you name them, please?
All of their names.
Did he enjoy me and Sally's hug, or did he find it an assault?
He liked it. He found that he found it reassuring to be treated as more than just a mode of transport.
Oh, he's certainly not. Topaz, you have emotions. I believe in you.
He says he definitely does, and he appreciates the support. He's going to night school.
Wait, can he understand what we're saying?
What's he studying?
No, but I'm translating. He's studying being a knight.
I fell into that one, didn't I?
Okay. I killed her.
It also helped.
Are we nearly there now?
Oh, I walked into that. Oh, that's so upsetting.
He's actually a level 20 fighter.
Yeah. Fuck. And oh, that's Sir Topaz too.
The big fight at the end of this episode, isn't it? We're all on death's door and Topaz comes in and kills the monster for us.
Just whinnies. Like leaps out and then lands on the beach and just sort of twitches. So, the journey to Latuavai is a pretty pleasant one. You follow Caress directions for perhaps an hour or so underneath the waves and the warm starlight, listening occasionally as you kind of jump out and crest onto the ocean roof to the tides and the birds.
The ocean roof.
Eventually, the narrow sandy path that you were sort of following around the bay opens up into a golden beach, and you see at a distance a settlement made from huge seashells, large enough for medium-sized humanoid creatures to walk into and around, half on the land and half submerged beneath the tide, all protected by a fence of whalebone and rope, which you can see extends into the sea. Amongst these colossal shells wander several elves of all ages, most with skin that is some shade of blue and slightly scaled. They also have webbed feet and fingers. Sally, as you round the bay and you see Latuavai, you also spot something moored in the seawall that looks oddly familiar. A houseboat, looking older and more abandoned than you left it, but you'd recognise the shape anywhere. This is your family's houseboat. Your consideration of this fact is cut short by the sound of an argument in the middle of the seashell settlement. As you pull closer to listen, you can peer into what seems to be kind of an open area for community with a large unlit fire pit in the middle, and a trio of elves arguing in front of a crowd of onlookers. One is tall and broad-shouldered and gesturing with a trident as she speaks. And not only are your parents getting no better, grandmother, but now the sharks are circling Latuavai, and you are spending all of your time speaking with those humans on that boat. You can see she's addressing an elderly woman with short white hair and a shawl around her shoulders and pointing a finger in her face. If the Sawagin come tonight, you have called them here. Peace, peace. There's no need for this. A plump male elf with a barrel chest and colourful tattoos of dolphins and turtles across one arm speaks up. You can see him move to step between the arguing pair, and as he turns, his other arm catches the starlight. And you can see it's made from various different pieces of smooth sea glass working together, which between these kind of pieces sit beautiful decorative tokens of more sea creatures. You can see the warrior woman look between the tattooed man and the old woman, and then she throws her hands up in frustration and turns to stalk down into the waters. She dives beneath the waves. What do you want to do?
Turn back. There's nothing to see here. Do we notice Sally reacting in the way Sasha's face is?
Sally, do you react?
Nope.
Okay. So we make a
deception check.
Imagine if I roll really badly and I'm like, my poker face is flawless, and I'm actually like, oh my god, my whole family's dead.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, you could do an insight check.
Would we even be looking at Sally? Would we be distracted by this argument, Dan?
Deception. Oh, my deception is quite high. It's still a 15 total.
Okay, rolling for it feels too much. I was more like, is Sally able to cover this in a way that we don't need?
15 total. Do I cover it?
Like a passive thing, maybe? I don't know.
I think we're going to be looking elsewhere, to be honest, at this point.
I'd probably swim. I'd be like, guys, they just mentioned the Sawagen. Should we go and maybe get some intel?
Right, so just before we go in, so we need to find out if there is a Malenti, because there might not be a Malenti.
Yeah.
I'm whispering this, obviously. We need to find if there is a Malenti, and if so, kill them? Question mark?
Absolutely kill them. Yeah.
Okay,
Deimos, how many would populate a city like this?
In terms of aquatic elves or Malenti?
Everyone. How big is the population here?
The settlement's probably no larger than perhaps 100 people.
Uh-huh.
Elves don't... We don't have children that often, you see. We're very long-lived.
So we're looking for one or two Malenti amongst this 100 people.
Koresk seemed to say there was only one, I think, but she didn't know.
There is one. So the chances of us... Okay, I'm just
saying... The Malenti
saying,
are probably
okay,
talking
one
to
in
each
100.
Other. The Malenti are probably talking to each other as well. There'll be a little team, so...
I reckon if we like have a conversation in the daytime, wait for nighttime, some people will die, and then we'll wake up in the daytime and we'll have a discussion about who we thought the Malenti are. And then we'll consign somebody to death, see if we got it right, repeat until we either find the Malenti or
so great.
We've decimated the town of Batu V. I mean, I think that seems like a simple...
That sounds like a really good structure for a show.
Yeah,
I like it.
Dan, can I be in the last three and get it wrong every fucking time?
For those of you who don't know, we are referencing my show Werewolf Live, which is comedians playing Werewolf, which is the game Werewolf.
It's very good.
Game. In case you're wondering, thought we were doing a nice saucy little in-joke that you weren't privy to. Now you're in.
We were.
You're on the inside.
I don't see the harm in just... Let's just go over, guys. Let's get involved in this fracas.
Let's do it.
Go get involved. Yeah.
I'm going to stealth. May I stealth? I want to go check if my whole family's dead, because I feel like I'm like, oh, these guys might be getting eaten by sharks, but also my whole family could be dead. So my priorities are very much split at this point.
So you want to sneak away from us, Sally?
Yes. I rolled a 19 to sneak.
Okay, yeah. We're probably
all right.
Good. Okay.
I'm not
okay,
like
I'm
swaggering over
plus a bunch.
To the others.
Okay, so you've got the chariot. I'll say like Sally is sort of in the back, one of the back clams. Ooh, all right. With a 23, you can slide out of the back clam. You kind of stick underneath the shadow for a while as everybody else sort of surfaces and kind of wipes the seawater out of their eyes. And you set off towards the houseboat.
Oh wait, this sea elf city is on the land.
It is on both. So it's sort of on imagine it's on a beach, and then the beach kind of slopes into the sea, and there are, it's on the sea as well. It's
just go back and listen to the big description Vicky did to Lal.
I
asked Topaz via Deimos, where would you like, do you want to just swim free for a bit? Like, do you want to go and eat some seaweed? What do you need? Seaweed.
Topaz is teetotal after his wild youth, but he does communicate to you that, weed total,
oh no, I have to kill Topaz now. Weed. Sorry.
No, he says, cool. Well, Deimos communicates that Topaz is a very, very loyal servant, essentially, of Koresk, and whatever you want him to do, he'll do.
Okay, just well, just hang back here, bro, and if you hear us calling, make sure you come and pick us up swiftly, huh?
He agrees.
Yeah, we might need a quick getaway if we end up killing the wrong one.
Right, yeah, about. Chances are we're going to fuck this up completely.
We might end up killing a villager.
Okay, I'm going to swagger up to these guys.
I was swaggering first, just to be clear.
Oh yeah, I'm going to join Archie's swagger.
I'm whole, pretty much holding back, just being like, oh.
Hey, Catherine, we're swaggering here.
Hello. We are coming here. We heard there was a bit of trouble around here, and we're here to help you out.
So as you stride in, you can easily find a place around the whalebone wall. It's not that high. It seems to be mostly to like keep like goats in and keep
we're going up
out.
To these arguing folks.
So. As I said, the warrior has stormed off into the sea, but left over is the
grandmother. And...
Yep, and the jocular fellow with the sea glass arm.
Yes.
So as the crowd kind of disperses, they then turn and very much re-sperse, as it were, or disperse, but de-disperse.
They de-disperse.
They sperse, exactly. So they sperse around you. And then as everyone cleans up... this kind of jocular fellow steps forward.
I wipe some spurs off my.
This jocular fellow steps forward, and he says, "Ah, good morning, friends."
Of course, friends.
what are you doing?
Roll initiative. I'm suspicious.
I gently push. I gently push Katayim out of the way. I go.
Why? Why push me? Excuse me.
I gently push Katayim out of the way and go. We are here because we heard you might have a little bit of a problem, and we're here to lend some assistance.
Koresk sends us.
Ah, well, in that case, you're most welcome. Come in, please.
Thanks, friend. I say.
They
you're
really
welcome,
think
buddy.
They're our friends. Yes,
we are the Malente detectives.
Oh no! Don't say that.
Oh, God.
Too late.
You are Malente then?
No,
you're not looking.
No, excuse me. We detect Malente. We are famed.
You know,
for it.
Like a lie detector is not a lie, is it? It's a detector of lies. We're yes. Lying.
I've never had to take a lie detector.
Except they're notoriously unreliable. So we are liars.
Well, it sounds like someone needs a lie detector.
Where right. Sawagen and Malente cause trouble, we cause peace.
I'm just saying, work on your branding. But I love the spirit.
All right, didn't really need any notes, thanks. But go on.
Okay, fair enough. Well, come on in. Welcome.
What's your name? Oh, you're about to tell us. All right, go on.
Yes, well, thank you for asking. My name's Bastien. Bastien. It's got an apostrophe in, but I understand that it's tough if you only speak common, so...
Do you speak? Should we speak Elvish?
Oh yes, of course.
I speak Elvish really well.
I say,
all right.
Oh,
what do you want to say in Elvish?
I say, is there like a famous Elvish phrase that I could say that would like suggest knowledge? Perhaps like a nice nautical phrase, like "May your pearls always be gleaming."
Ah, okay. He responds saying, "And may yours be shuttered tight and safe at night."
And Archie,
you know, this is the
Archie trebuchets.
Bastien does his best to trebuchet back, and he says, "Well, I appreciate your concern, friends. And if Koresk sends you, of course, we would never be so disrespectful as to turn down her help. But I'm really sure everything's okay. I mean, we've not had any problems thus far. We've always been peaceful, or at least, well." He looks at his arm. He says, "We've been peaceful for about 10 years." So I don't see any reason the good times would end.
Yes, what's going on with that arm?
This?
You little winter soldier, you.
Who is Bucky?
I'm not sure.
Me neither, but that's okay. After I was brainwashed in a Soviet research facility, I ended up here. But now I'm the head friend keeper. We have 3 main members of the council here in Latuavai. You may have seen one earlier, Kerithla. She is our head warrior. We all have jobs here that serve the community well enough, and mine is to be a friend keeper. We discuss and work alongside the creatures of the sea. I have a partner called Pancake, and I love him.
And very she slaughters Sawagin.
Well, we haven't really, as I say, we haven't really had threats to Latuavai for some time. So really, we've obviously the warriors see off, you know, the occasional shark and patrol and things, but we haven't really had to do anything important for a long time.
What was the debate about just before we arrived?
Oh, Kerithlar has it in her head that Iridanza is... Oh, let me introduce her. And you can see that glacially slowly, this very ancient, huddled old elven lady has made her way over and has been standing, like, expectantly.
Hello.
And she says, hello there, dears. How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
Fine and dandy.
I nod, very good. Deferentially.
My name's Grandmother Iridanza. I'm the head farmer here. I oversee a lot of the agricultural matters, and you might see my adopted daughter around here somewhere. She's a ranger. I'm very proud of her. None of you are unwell, are you?
No, fit as fiddles, thanks.
Very good.
My fingers are a little wrinkly, but that is to be expected.
little hungry, if anything, but yeah, it's fine.
Oh, my dear. Well, you mustn't be hungry. Come back to mine for some breakfast, eh? Have you eaten?
Guathrin,
you're looking jolly thin, and she kind of pinches your cheek.
Okay, we are on the clock, so I'm afraid we'll have to forego such delicacies.
Oh, fine. In that case, and she reaches into her pockets and she pulls out like a small bird on a skewer.
Okay,
and she hands it to you.
Okay.
I was in your pocket, all right. Okay.
Of course.
I'll have one to go. Thank you.
Is this vegetarian?
I'm sorry, dear. I didn't realize you were one of those. Okay, and she puts the bird away.
I'll have that. Thank you.
Oh, sure, of course.
Is there a tofu version of this? Or?
There is, actually, yes.
Oh, thank you.
Here you go. And she takes out a tofu bird.
Oh, thank you.
It's actually, they would actually have a very nice kind of like sweet, I guess, honeyed seaweed treats that look quite nice.
Perfect. Yeah, that's lovely. Oh, it's delicious. Nice. Thank you. So very kind of you. Very kind of you, Iridanza.
You're very welcome.
I'm Guathrin. Lovely to meet you.
Guathrin, what a sweet young man you are.
Well, not so young, but I appreciate that. Yeah,
cheers. Oh, well, I wager you're a smite younger than me, young man. Well,
that may be.
You mentioned
one of your nice young friends.
My name's Archie. Lovely to meet you.
Archie, how good to meet you.
You mentioned your daughter before.
Yes.
Do tell.
Oh, well, that's...
ASL.
Well, that's very kind of you, dears. That's very sweet of you. You can try. She's rather picky, but, you know, they say, you know what they say,
like
cast your hook while the stars sparkle.
Cyber.
Yes.
Oh, yes, she's very into all that.
I did not mean it like that.
No, she's a ranger.
Just gathering intel. We are professionals.
Of course. Well, she's a ranger. She's a dear lass. She is. She sort of takes patrols around the area and makes sure that nothing nasty happens. You know, nobody nasty comes by.
What's
her important. Name? Arvasta.
And was that the person we saw before having a discussion who just left?
No, that's Kerithlar. Bless her heart. She's quite hot-headed.
And that's your daughter?
No.
Arvasta
is my daughter. Yes.
Have you ever had sex with a shark?
I'm sorry?
Okay, don't worry about it.
Oh my god.
Well, that seems like an inappropriate question, young man.
I would agree.
Have you ever been fucked by a shark?
Jesus!
See, it doesn't feel good, does it, young man?
Yeah.
I was there and somewhere in the sea, Sally just goes, something awful has happened.
I leave them alone
for 5 minutes.
Don't quote
me on this. But I think sharks have dual penises.
All right, so listen.
Don't quote me on this. I don't know much about sharks.
Archie gets out his pipe and prepares to blow a very anatomically correct image.
I reach up.
Have two penises? Sharks definitely have two penises.
So Iridanza,
did you Google it? Yep, immediately. Straight away.
Wow. Yes, dear.
We know which creature Sally's summoning next. All right, so your daughter. Yeah, two dicks.
Two dicks.
Put it in the book.
I could summon a shark. It down. So
write
be
it
two
down.
Dicks.
Make a note.
Two dicks Collins. I don't know.
Yes.
Right, so
my groundsman, two dicks Collins.
Aravasta, whereabouts? She patrols the area. She knows most of the people in this settlement. Who maybe is new around here, who maybe is acting a bit different, maybe, something like that.
Oh, I suppose maybe, although I think she's out on patrol right now. Right. But she'll be back in the afternoon.
Okay.
You'd like, I can send her to seek you out.
Yes, please, that would be great.
We'll chat to her. And Iridanza, you've been here a few years, as you've mentioned. How about you? Is there anyone around here that you're a little... wary of somebody who's perhaps changed their behavior, somebody who's doesn't quite fit in?
I don't like to point fingers.
Well,
at
please,
all.
You can't please point fingers, that would be lovely.
Okay, yes. Well, I think obviously Kareth Law has been very, very angry and loud, and honestly, she keeps accusing me of things. I have my secrets, as do we all, but I'm certainly not whatever she accuses me of.
What's she saying you've done? What's she suspecting you of?
Well, she accuses me of being a Sawagon in disguise, and I would never be such a thing.
Yeah, has she got any evidence to prove that? Is she getting other people to point at you and say that as well?
I don't know. I suppose that sometimes she thinks that because I only arrived 50 years ago, you know, but my home was destroyed by the Regent Company, so I had to find somewhere to go. Yeah, either way, she's been here since she was born, and even though she's quite young, she doesn't really take that very kindly, you know.
How old is your daughter?
My daughter Avasta is, I would say, if I came here 50 years ago, she would be just entering her 30th year.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on the Sawagons?
Oh, very frightening, dear, very frightening. But I think we could mount a good defense if we, and at this, Bastien kind of, he tries to hide it, but he rolls his eyes. And she says, no, I know your thoughts on this, dear, but I just think that if we fortified the sea wall and did a little training with the warriors, perhaps we would have a better chance. There's no sense pottering around making accusations. Are any of us truly going to swing an axe? No. I think what we should do is fortify the wall so that whatever happens, happens, and get the farmers in. We string ropes along the seabed to grow seaweed, of course.
Oh.
That's our main source of food here, aside from the monkeys and birds that we hunt.
Gibbons?
Why, of course, they're the bane of Latuivai.
What?
They steal things from our pack all the time, yes.
Those cheeky little gibbs.
Oh, if you're gibbon hunters, my goodness me.
Professional.
I would have 50 crowns for anybody who brought me the head of a gibbon.
Oh, God.
I pull one out of my bag.
Side quest, Gibbon.
I'm not ready to behead a Gibbon.
Bastien.
Yes.
You agree with what Iridanza is saying in terms of she means well, at least.
Well, of course, and I'm not one to undermine her. I respect Iridanza greatly, and you. Very good, but still, suffice to say, I think we're going to be fine. I think that it's just sometimes sharks happen, you know? That's the only sign we've had that there are sharks around.
How long ago did these sharks show up?
Oh, I would say a few weeks ago. Not too bad.
In comparison to 50 years. Okay, all right. And how long have you been here, Bastien?
Archie opens his jacket to show a t-shirt saying, sharks happen.
Since I was born 400 years ago. I'm looking good for it, though.
Wow.
He winks.
Same shark, different day.
Yeah. Very good. Shark in my mouth.
You've never ventured out of this little colony?
No, why would I? Sometimes ships come by and we trade with them for a couple of things, and the diviners and mages certainly need to trade, but on the whole, we have everything we need here.
Okay.
And you know, we hunt, we farm, we talk, we...
So, if we were to venture into town and ask around a bit, where would you suggest we go?
Well, you see, mostly, we're quite a small settlement, but if you would be all right breathing underwater, then I'd suggest perhaps speaking with Kerith La on her opinions on the subject. But beyond that, I'm not sure. If Koresk sent you to help, I mean, I'm not against fortifying the seawall, if any of you have any experience with fortifications. Or if any of you are good enough warriors to give our warriors a bit of an overview, then perhaps we could do that.
Do you mind if we have a quick chat, Bastian? Just
of course not.
Human to elf.
By all means, I'll go back to Pancake. Goodbye.
Oh, no, as in just me and you. Sorry.
Oh, you and I. Well, of course. Come and meet my friend Pancake.
I thought you'd never
he
ask.
He slaps a large arm around your shoulders and leads you towards the ocean. You see he's kind of like a... He's
I
kind
just
like
wanted
a
to have a very quick chat in Elvish with him.
Of course.
I didn't
Come,
know
under
he
here.
Elvis Gwathryn. That's crazy. Elvis. Can you speak Elvish, Gwathryn?
No, absolutely cannot.
Me neither. That's mad.
Sorry, this will be very quick. I don't want to take
Yeah, no, go for it. Go for it.
He dips the both of you below the waves. You can see as he looks around, kind of worried, he's impressed that you can breathe under there. And you can see a manta ray swims over to the pair of you. And he looks down and says, yes, yes, no, he's a friend. They say they're Malenti detectives. Is that all right? That right, Archie?
I give him a thumbs up.
No, no, they're not Malenti. No. It's
no,
like a lie. You know
Malenti.
A lie detector? Yes, exactly. Like a metal detector? They don't have metal on them, do they?
Yeah, that would go off all the time if they did. Think
exactly.
about it, Pancakes.
Think about it. You can see Pancake begins to kind of butt his little head against Bastion's kind of shoulder and wibble his little frills around. Aww. And he says, no, it's fine, really. I'm sorry. He's a very nervous Ray. What did you want?
So I just wanted to have a quick chat. So we need to find... We have reason to believe there is a Malenti or Malentis or Malentai in your ranks. And I wanted to just ask you who, if anyone, we should be suspicious of.
Oh, I couldn't possibly cast aspersions on anybody in here.
Please cast aspersions.
I don't like that kind of thing. I'm sure everybody, if they tried, has a part to play in the society. And, you know, I know I lost my arm to the Sawagon when we last fought them, but really, I just wish we'd all get along, you know?
No, I know. And I love that blue sky thinking, but we're underwater now, so there's no blue
ocean
sky to be seen.
Thinking.
So we need blue ocean thinking. And blue ocean thinking, there are sharks in the ocean, and we've got to protect you against those sharks. So
I've spoken to some sharks. They seem fine.
Yeah, I'm thinking this is probably going to run along D&D lines where the racial divides are quite strong. And so are all Swaggins evil? Or is that a Sutkaresque being judgmental?
Roll a history check. See if you've ever heard tales of these creatures.
Okay.
Shark tales.
That is...
Shark tales.
Very good. That is a 7,
So bad.
7. All right. You've never heard of these creatures, so it's hard to assess.
Okay. Right. Just, I want to make sure, we really need to make sure you all stay safe.
Well, that's
and
kind.
I love your positivity. I love your energy. I love Pancake.
Thank you.
He's top notch. Sorry, what's his pronouns? Their
yes,
pronouns.
He.
Okay, great. Pancake, top draw. Great, great Ray.
Pancake hides bashfully.
Aww. But we do need to keep you alive. So if there's anything you can tell me and the fellow detectives, now would be the time.
Well, I don't see any reason to be suspicious of anybody. And, you know, Malenti, they say, sow discord and things in the in communities and get them to argue. And there has been a lot of arguing lately, I suppose. But that's just sort of what happens when people feel unsafe, I suppose. So I've been going around giving hugs to everybody.
Oh, you're precious. Who
it's
who
definitely
causes...
this guy. It's definitely this guy.
He just talked to an animal, Gwathryn, so it can't be him. Also, you're not him.
Oh, yeah, I'm not him.
Well,
yeah.
Did you hear that animal talk back to him, or did he just pretend? We don't know.
Oh, clever. Okay, so who's caused the most arguments? That's my final question, then I'll bet you get back
arguments.
To
arguments. Well, I suppose that would be Kerith La, but...
She just sort of argues a lot all the time anyway. It's not unusual. To be honest, everything sort of got a little bit more extreme ever since those humans came along in that ship and asked us for a sanctuary. Of course, we happily provide it, and they seem like a nice pair, but, you know, it's been a little strange. You understand, if you grow up in a community that's mostly one way and then people come in who are another way, it takes a little bit of work to get along. Mm. But we do the work gladly, and we're better for it.
Okay. This has been great. I'm sorry to have taken up so much of your time.
It's all right. Pancakes, say goodbye to the nice man. And Pancakes flips his little flipper over your face gently.
Okay, so he is... Pancake is reacting to the thing. Go. Okay. Does Pancake like being tickled?
Yes, of course.
Okay, I'd like to tickle Pancake, please.
Pancake wiggles really excitedly. Pancake loves it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello again, my friends. It's me. Again, my friends. I just wanted to pop in the middle bit here for a bit and just remind you that, you know, we love you and we're so appreciative for you listening to the show and watching along on our live streams. If you do... if you don't, you know, find Vicky's World RPG on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and join in the live show on Thursdays. It's really good fun, and the chat is such a nice community, and it's a real good time. Just join us, you know, trust me. But most importantly, I want to tell you how to support the show very quickly. This show costs money to run, and it is a considerable fee. So it really means a lot if you can show your support by visiting our Ko-fi page and throwing a few crowns our way. It helps pay for our technical engineer for the live streams and also just, you know, to show your love and support for the show and to help run on our various platforms and the Zencasters and the Restreams and the OBSs. It all costs cash, yo. So do it. And you can do that by going to our Ko-fi page. And there's loads of cool bonuses there for you to purchase as a one-time ting. We have a cool shop up and running, beautiful illustrations and phone backgrounds designed by our in-house artist, Pink Ink Art. B-Watts, we love you. Get your papayas, your LGBT backgrounds, and also your favorite characters. You know, you can carry them around with you wherever you go. Basically, just go to ko-fi.com/Vicky's World RPG to become a subscriber or to buy something from the shop for a one-off donation. It means a great deal. That's ko-fi.com/Vicky's World RPG. ko-fi.com/Vicky's World RPG. Okay, back to the show.
So while you're adventuring and investigating and meeting the leaders of the community here, Sally, you've decided to swim away for a little bit towards this houseboat. What do you want to do?
Well, DM, ideally, I'd like to find out if my whole family's dead. That would be nice. That would be a nice thing to know.
How are you going to go about and ascertain this?
I'm going to go look at the houseboat.
Okay, so you swim up?
Stealthily. Christ knows what's in there. I'm going to get eaten by a shark, aren't I? This is how you get me. You lure me in with backstory, and then I separate from my group, and now you're going to eat my octopus and shark bitch slap me. That's what's going to happen here. I know you. I want to you. Anyway, the boat.
So you swim up towards... Yes, you're absolutely right. What I do is I lay plot hooks in their traps so I can punish your characters for engaging with the narrative. That's what I hate, when you guys engage with the narrative. So you swim over to the houseboat. You can see it gently bobbing. The creaking, even the creaking sound is familiar. You know, like when you go back to your childhood home after maybe a long time away, maybe after you go to, you know, uni or start living on your own. And then you go back and you remember the pattern, the floorboards creaking. It's very much like that as you hear it rocky in the breeze. If you'd like, you can peer alongside. There is a new addition, a rope ladder dangling down from where once there was a gangplank.
This is underwater, right?
The ship, the houseboat itself is moored on the surface.
Oh, I see. I thought it was under... That's why it mind-fucked me, because when you described it, I thought it had sunk, and I was, like, swimming underneath, being like, oh, shit! That's why I was like, good fucking Christ, you've killed my whole family, Hawley. What have you done? All right, fine. In which case, I'm going to shapeshift, because I don't need them knowing I'm here.
Amazing. What are you going to become?
I need something ridiculously innocuous.
I mean, they seem to be moored at the edge of an aquatic elf colony, and you've seen Deimos. You think you could probably put together an aquatic elf pretty easily, or you could be whatever you want to be, as long as it's medium-sized.
Yeah, I feel like an aquatic elf's going to be the least conspicuous, because I was going to be like, oh, I'm a medieval Wi-Fi salesman called David.
Do it.
But I feel like that'll... What's like the most common thing that I can... Who would be... Right, I'll tell you what. Here's a world question. Who would be the equivalent of a door-to-door Wi-Fi salesman in Corona Regia? In Etienne Regia, I'm sorry.
That's fine. That's the old name. And then we renamed it Sandwiches.
Because
a little bit of a peer
the
behind
world
the curtain.
Happened.
Because there was a global pandemic with the same name. This was originally going to be called Corona Regia.
It's originally going to be called Corona Regia.
I still remember it as Corona Regia. They renamed it Etienne Regia after I left, and I'm still one of those wankers that calls it Corona Regia for no fucking reason.
It's back when it used to be cool.
Before I left. So
there
go on.
Isn't really an equivalent. I guess, like, maybe... Oh, I don't know, someone selling... I mean,
fish.
The closest equivalent I can think is like, well, you can try, if you'd like, to be a fish salesman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do, except I don't have any fish, and I don't have any time to fish for any, because quite frankly, I think everybody here would lose the will to live. I do, but I'm not selling my fucking octopus.
You can pretend...
I will hold my octopus in my arms, and I will say, I'm sorry, this one is spoken for.
Display copy only.
I'm taking requests for the fish. I'm gonna make it up when I go.
Okay.
Yeah. So by the way, all of this is actually happening, but I'm talking to myself. I'm just on my own. Like Sally's on her own, holding her octopus, being like, "We're gonna tell you that we're here for display purposes. We're gonna tell you that we can catch more fish. It's gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine. Go, Sally. Go.
You go, Sally. Go. You see that there is kind of a rope ladder down drifting at the side of the where there once was a gangplank, which you suspect is a new installation, so that the elves can access.
I can just send my octopus in.
Yeah, if you want.
Just
yeah,
go
fuck
in,
it. Before
mate.
I
just go
no, because I don't want them to know. Because they. Yeah. Anyway.
Right. So
I'm sending
are you going to fling your octopus?
Yep.
All right. This octopus is going to move super slowly because it's going across, you know, just the boards of a ship. But if you're happy with that, you're
I'm
happy
fine with, that.
With that. Go ahead and make a perception check. With three Nips' stats.
Is it slower than the hour it would take to summon it into a rat or something?
No.
It can't be that slow.
Four. It's really slow. You can't really tell anything. And in fact, as three Nips... pulls himself along the deck. You hear a door open.
Very good.
Through his, thank you. Through his little ears. And you hear the clomping of boots. And oh, then God, you hear a familiar sound. You hear your dad's voice saying, "Oh, Mariah, there's a fucking octopus on the deck." And you hear your mum's voice saying, "Oh, well, I'm sorry, Simon. What do you want me to do about it? I'll come down. I'll get the stick." And then you hear a bit of a clomping and clattering. And then you see through Three Nips' eyes your mother and father looking a little bit older and a little bit more tired. In fact, a lot thinner, a lot more worn by the world and a lot older for a year that you've been absent. But alive and seemingly well. Your mother carries a large oar.
I'm gonna at that point be like, "Please don't hit my octopus." And I'm gonna come up as anonymous fish salesman Jackson Jackson.
Okay, so you climb your way onto the deck.
Another classic Sally character.
Door to door fish salesman.
Simon says, "Oh, usually they knock."
The octopuses, bloody hell, mine can't do that.
No, I meant your folk.
Yeah, sorry, my octopus got away from me, but
fine. Here, wait. And he picks Three Nips up by his like head, his wibbly head, and kind of shoves him back into your arms.
Okay, you folk aren't in the market for some fish, are you? I'm a door-to-door fish salesman.
I thought your folk didn't eat fish. I thought you talked to them and shit.
Oh, yeah, no, we chat to them, but then we know you guys eat them. So every so often we get a suicidal one and they're like, "Hey, maybe just feed me to the humans and I'll be much happier because, you know, life's not going great." So to be honest, it's like fish euthanasia.
That is just perfect.
Make a deception check.
That is just perfect. So perfect.
17, please.
17, I mean... He goes, "Yeah, that makes sense."
Yeah.
Yeah, so I got some
great, yeah.
I got some soups depressed trout down there.
Great.
One really bipolar starfish.
Great.
But
sure.
He's up and down, so you know, I don't wanna just catch him on a downswing and feed him to a human.
Would he be pentapolar? Because it's five.
Oh no, he's got a lot of yeah. The trout are pretty depressed, though, yeah.
Well, yeah, sure, why not? How much do you want for them? And he feels around in his coin pouch.
I feel like I would know the going rate for fish, having grown up around here. I know the going rate for fish?
Of course. It would probably be, for a trout, probably would be one or two crowns, depending on the quality of the trout.
One or two crowns. Okay.
This is the best scene that Vicky's World has ever done. This is so good. I can't handle how good this is.
Well, you know, this one's pretty down in the mouth, so I reckon I can let it go for a crown.
Sure, that all right, Mariah? She goes, "Oh yes, whatever you want, dear."
Brilliant. I'll go down and get him in a sec. He's, you know, preparing himself in the water, saying bye and all that.
Sure, here you go. And your father hands you a crown.
My father's a lot more trusting than I remember him. He would have wanted to see the trout before he handed me over a crown, but I'll take the crown, being like, "Oh, I must have done a good deception check." So what brings, I'll lean casually on a bit of the boat. What brings you folks to this part of the world, eh? Fish.
Nothing abnormal, that's for sure. We just left our previous houseboat colony for completely normal reasons. Isn't that right, Mariah?
And wow, she's deception like, "Yes, really runs in the family, doesn't it?"
"We're so sorry to be a bother, really. But you see, it's quite nice. We're hoping to find somewhere that we could maybe retire. But obviously that's quite a bit of a way off, but it always pays to be keep your eyes out, eh? Oh, sorry, listen to me rambling. Would you like a drink? We have
I'd love, yeah, that'd be lovely. Thank you.
I'm sure we have something. Yeah, give me a moment. Excuse me. You two chat. I'll bring out some chairs as well. And your mum disappears into the house.
I'll help you. Can I try and help her? Can I go in?
Oh, I wouldn't want to be a bother. That's very kind, but I really wouldn't want to be a bother.
I'm very good at making drinks.
Oh, well, and Mariah sort of looks to your dad and says, well, all right. Yes, I don't see the harm in it. Why don't you come in? Yeah, I have to say, you're far more curious about the way we live than the most of your folk. They're just sort of usually happy to trade and then go on their way.
No, we're a slightly reserved people, but I've travelled and I would really very much like to know your story. So, what are you guys? Oh. How are you in general? How are your children? Or lack of them, doesn't really matter which one. I've got two myself.
Really?
Yeah.
we have a daughter. She's actually, you know, she's done very well for herself. She left a few years ago, obviously, flew the nest, as it were, and obviously we're all very proud of her. She now works in Hearthport, actually. She's doing what she always wanted to do, you know. She's helping out sort of as a doctor there. So yes, we're very proud of our daughter.
Oh. Cool. Sally's heart breaks a little tiny bit. I'm going to look around the boat, the inside of the boat. Has much changed or happened?
You can look around. You can see anything in the kitchen that you used to, you know, maybe you had a favorite chipped mug or something. That's gone. And maybe there were previously, you know, drawings that you did up on the walls. They're gone. But other than that, not much seems to have changed. It's just a year. In fact, it's kind of painful how familiar it is. It feels like in another timeline, you could just be standing here catching up with your mum.
Would you mind if I just use the facilities? Is that all right?
Oh, no,
I know
of course,
that we
yes.
generally pee outdoors, I'd imagine, in this part yes. of the world, but I'm going to say that this boat has a toilet.
But yes, I've got it to does. Do a massive shit.
John's lights went off at that exact moment. Yeah. It was the most dramatic announcement.
John's lights are like, we're not watching this. No, bring the lights down.
That
this
was really
happening.
Weird. I thought it was a power cut.
Roll yeah. to have a poo in your childhood toilet. Okay.
You don't have to roll. You can just go. She says, I can just have yes, of course. Of course. Right down there. And it's a bit cramped in here. Sorry about that. But, you know, help yourself.
I'm not going to go to the toilet. Surprise.
Okay. Okay.
I'm going to briefly peek into what used to be my room.
Great. You peer in and it is completely empty. There is just a bed and a wardrobe, but anything that was yours in there is gone.
Oh, they haven't even turned it into a gym or anything.
No, not a study or a sewing room or a gym. Just burn all my possessions and danced around the flames.
It's just a massive
okay.
sex
spare room.
Right. You know how everybody's parents have like a secret place that they keep their stuff, but you know where the secret place is, even though you're small? I want to go look there.
Okay. You can go look there
like
if you tell
mummy's
me.
Mummy's sock drawer or like, yeah. you know, like daddy's loose floorboard. I don't know which one.
I reckon daddy's loose floorboard one would be an incredible name for a gay bar that I'm now going to found.
Oh, yes.
But second of all, come on down to daddy's loose floorboard. We've got the loosest floorboards. Dad's.
Who knows what you'll find beneath, but it'll be sexy.
Exactly. It'll be loose. So... As you go, you know that your mum always used to store important things in the bottom of her wardrobe.
Cool. I'm gonna go and look there for clues.
All right.
As to my heritage.
You sneak in. I think because you are you're clearly, you know, you're creaking along the old corridor and thing, I'm gonna need you to make a stealth check for this.
Sure.
See if you can sneak.
I can fucking sneak. It's a dirty 20.
Ooh, very nice. All right, yeah, you sneak. You know the pattern of floorboards in here, so you can very easily dart along. You step into your mum and dad's room. It has changed very little. You notice there are a few things that they took when you guys all left Hearthport that were maybe like, I don't know, nice vases or some of your mum's pricier necklaces and the ones that hadn't been sold over the years, now they have been sold. You open the wardrobe and you take a look in the bottom. You find the box with your brother's stuff in that they kind of filled when he passed away. You find a lot of your sister's old stuff. And then you find a box, just a very small box, shoved right at the back of the wardrobe. In fact, kind of folded and tucked down behind maybe Marco's box, mm-hmm. your brother's box, that is just labeled Sally in your mum's writing.
Oh. I look inside the box.
Oh, sorry, it would be labeled Selena. Sorry.
Yes, it would be.
labeled Selena in your mum's writing. Mm.
Okay, I would like to look inside the box. I am also like specifically because I thought my character thought that she'd find like letters from someone or you know being like oh I've always enjoyed banging you behind my husband's back, but apparently not. So I'll open the box named Selena.
Selena, while you were growing up, what were the things that you made the nicest memories with your mum with? They're like books you liked most, a particular story she'd read you, a little dress maybe,
like
maybe
cookie
that she
cutters and like a hair slide that I wore for several years, and I don't know, like a little you know what, oh god, what is it called, the little floaty thing when you fish,
like a bobber,
yeah, like yes. One of them that I used to always fish with. It's a little duck but it bobs.
Oh. You remember your delight when your dad at that actually had that made specially for you, and your mum would teach you to sort of like cast the line off of the pier. This is probably while you were still in Hearthport. This is way back, and you remember the day that you first reeled in your first fish. It was a little one. Your mum had to help you haul it in, but she was delighted, and you all ate it for dinner, and it was just a lovely moment. Yeah, it seems like your mum has kept some of these things. The cookie cutters, you remember, there was a time when you all, your dad reeled in a pretty hefty fish, a pretty expensive one, and you managed to sell enough to get a good amount of sugar, and partially in order to, you know, preserve it, and partially to just do something fun. Your mum called you over, and not your big sister, she was busy reading stuff, she called you over, and you two just spent a few hours in this kind of cramped galley kitchen making cookies together, and you remember that a lot of your time on this boat was very difficult, and you spent it either ducking accusations or just festering in this air of discomfort. But that afternoon you spent with your mum making cookies, you felt like you were mother and daughter. You felt like she forgot what else you were, and you were just her daughter to her.
Okay, I put those things back to where I found them.
Lovely. All right, you can set those down. You can close the door silently, and you can hear your mother's voice calling down, saying, "Mr. Jackson, I'm sorry, Mr. Jackson. I have four eels."
Fucking hell.
I never meant to make your daughter cry. I am just for fish and not a guy. No, sorry, what she actually calls is, tea's ready, Mr. Jackson.
Lovely.
I am four eels.
I forgot the voice I was doing for Mr. Jackson, so this is the new one. Great, I love tea.
Oh, fantastic. Well, come on out. And, do you want me to package it up? Are you busy, or do you want
no,
to come and
I would love to talk to you some more. I say in a completely normal way.
Sinister.
All right, no worries at all. In that case, I'll see if Simo's free. Simo, are you going fishing today? And then she realizes what she said, and she goes, Oh, sorry, darling. And he says, "No, Mariah, I'm not going fishing today. Same as every other bloody day." And he kind of stalks back into this towards your parents' room and says, "Tell me when you're leaving, Mr. Jackson," and shuts the door. And Mariah turns to you and says, "Well, sorry for the trouble. Gosh, this really is. Well, since I've made you some tea, do you want to shall we sit out the back? It's got a lovely view.
Sure.
She leads you to a couple of sort of wooden seats around the back, sort of just kind of a simple bench, but you remember eating out there with your family quite often, under sort of a tarpaulin that looks a lot more battered now than it was. She sets down tea, maybe some like seaweed biscuits and things, and she looks at you and says, Mr. Jackson, you've lived in Latour Vie long?
Oh, I'm actually from Etienne Regia myself, but
whereabouts?
North.
Ah, the north. I see. Well, we don't know the north very well, unfortunately.
No, but, it's inland. I figured you guys are more boaty. Yes. But your husband doesn't fish anymore.
Well, no, it used to be the way he supported us, but of course we're very grateful for the people of Latour Vie for you know, taking us in, offering us sanctuary, and we appreciate, you know, being able to trade with them, and often they help you know, with food and the like, and it's very nice to eat with them, of course, and we're fisher folk by trade, and obviously the transition to trying to shoot birds out of the sky or wring a gibbon's neck is just quite difficult, really.
Oh, you got to get it by the ears, you know.
They
you
always
gotta,
say it's the trick. Ears. The ears are key to severing a gibbon's neck, but I just can't. I don't think my hands are built for gibbon ear.
No, you grip it by the left ear, and you just. Yeah. Push it right into the crick of that elbow until you hear the snap.
Jackson is a lunatic.
Either way, we're very grateful, of course, and we don't mean to be any trouble, but of course while we're here we're trying not to fish up anybody's friends, you know, so unfortunately we're at something of an on-pass.
This is going to go horribly wrong.
Okay, do it.
But I want to do it because I don't understand how else to do this. I'm going to say something and then I'm going to try to detect thought.
Okay. All right.
Because I'm going to try and trigger something.
Okay.
How best to phrase this? All right. Right. This is how I'm going to do this. Ooh. I'm going to say, you know, not many folk leave Etienne Regia. It's. I mean, I've left, so you know, I get it. It's a nice place. What made you want to travel in your senior age? And then I'm going to detect thought because I'm guessing she's going to lie.
All right, lovely. So let's see, detect thoughts. So I think you can just read her surface thoughts for free, right?
Yes.
Great. Okay. So you can sense, so you would know that in effect, everything, including the ocean, is considered Etienne Regia. So the main sort of continent is where you kind of grew up, and that's basically just a large kind of island. But really everywhere under this kind of celestial fabric is considered Etienne Regia. But she gets what you mean. As you focus in, you learn her surface thoughts. Her surface thoughts are quite strongly missing home. You know that your mum was never really somebody that wanted to travel. She was never really somebody who kind of liked to take risks. And you know that she was very happy when you're in Hearthport. And on the more difficult days, she made that clear to you quite explicitly. She wishes that she'd never left. And obviously you had grandparents, aunts and uncles, but, you know, she couldn't see them. So she has this kind of pang of homesickness as you ask why they travelled. And then she has this pang of grief. And you feel very, very strongly that there is kind of a familial love that she cannot express, that she misses, that there is somebody she is missing very dearly. And that's what you get as her surface thoughts. And she says, oh, well, we just wanted to travel the world, you know, see the sights.
I'd like her to make a wisdom saving throw, please.
All right.
It's going to go so badly.
It's a two.
Oh, brilliant. Let me plow my mother's mind. Not plow.
Wow.
Like, delve.
No, we're
like, delve.
We love the sandwiches. We have found the worst thing ever said on Mickey's World. We're doing it.
Go into it with my.
This has been our 500th inappropriate comment. The streamers come down.
Yay! We are the streamers that come down. All right. So chat's being filthy, so I'm not going to acknowledge him. So you want to probe deeper. You see for a moment a scene playing out in your mind. And it is your mother clinging white-knuckled to the edge of this boat and watching as your father has an argument on a gangplank with a man that you recognise. A man who used to be fairly important in the sort of group of lashed-together houseboats that you, for many years, sort of made your home as part of. You all kind of had kind of jetties connecting some of the houses and these kind of floating wooden corridors that you'd use. But mostly, what you hear is this argument. And oddly, when you've been delving back into your mind and back into your memories, and these memories of this man who gave this medal to you come back, you find that that voice and the voice of this community leader are one and the same in your mind. And you hear him saying, "You lost her. I gave you one job, Simo, and you lost her. Get out of my sight. We don't know where she's gone. She could be anywhere." And Simo says, "I can't believe this. I can't. How dare you?" And he says, "Don't you dare talk to me like that. Get out. You're not welcome here anymore." And you see that playing over in her mind, that memory. You see kind of tears, really. Heartbreak as you unmoored from this colony, your mother and father. You see kind of some of the sort of stronger members of the colony stepping out to unlash the boats. That's where the gangplank went. They unlashed your boat and they just shoved it. They didn't stop to see whether your mother and father had food or water or anything. You can see her looking up to kind of a coast, a shoreline where everybody had maybe stopped in for a little while, and you can see in the distance a familiar shape for you, the Rittle Inn. And slowly, slowly, the boat drifts away. And you know that your mother was heartbroken by this. She was frightened, she was upset, and she misses you so, so much. She looks to Simo, and his face is just set. And she looks at it, and she recognizes the man she fell in love with. And she reflects as he sort of steps over to the tiller and tells her to raise the sails, that she doesn't know what the fuck they're going to do now. And they don't have the first way of telling whether or not their little girl's safe.
Okay, can I just clarify one thing? So when you say that the voice of the man that exiled Simo and that exiled them and the person who gave me the necklace are the same,
mm-hmm.
Wouldn't I have recognized that dude?
The faces are different.
Oh, fuck me! I found my papa! I found my papa.
You've been listening to Vicky's World, starring Vicky Hawley, John Gracie, Sasha Ellen, Dan Simpson, and me, Talal Karkouti. All our socials are in the podcast description. Give us a follow and say hi. Find Vicky's World RPG on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Insta to stay up to date with everything Vicky's World, including all of our live streams and the beautiful fan art that we get sent. If you like the show, please, please, please tell your mates. Nothing beats word of mouth, and we really appreciate all the love we've been getting so far, but we're hungry for more. Thanks to Acast for hosting us, and many, 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 many thanks to Adam Janota-Bazovsky for the incredible music. This show was edited by yours truly, logo is by Amber SDF, and all our gorgeous artwork is by me, Watts. Theme song by me and John Gracie. Thanks so much for listening. See you next time.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.